In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Both were advanced in years. The King James Version says this, that now they were well stricken in years. Age had taken its toll. Their bodies were not bodies of the young or even the middle-aged. They were aged. They were elderly. They were stricken with years. Elizabeth, we read, was barren, but they were both stricken with old age, and no doubt they had prayed and prayed and prayed time and time again for children. Not once or twice, but dozens and perhaps hundreds of times. But time seemed to pass this couple by, and they no doubt had to endure the happiness of others, who for some reason were granted this privilege, attending their friends' baby showers, their friends' temple ceremonies, their siblings' children's graduations and marriages, all the while watching the whole world grow up around them. They were kept from experiencing this growing up. They only grew old. They were stricken. There were probably sometimes that were a little bit harder than other times. But each time the pain was real, the pain was private. Those silent pangs of disappointment and sadness and confusion of why they were the recipients of this burden to carry. I'm sure they put on the happy face. And judging by their character here in Scripture, certainly they were genuinely happy for others. But still, other religious folks, no doubt, who did not know them well, must have thought that this was some sort of punishment for something that they had done wrong. But Scripture says the opposite, that they both were righteous and were currently walking and living blamelessly according to God's word. They were actually the best of the best. And those who knew them better than others knew they were a couple of exceptional character, but it was still so mysterious why the condition. Why did this fateful couple have to suffer the indignity of being childless in a society that really didn't have adoption agencies? Why would they have to be subject to the whispers and perhaps even the scorn of others who judged them? Why did they have to endure this private agony alone? It's a mystery. And if you say tonight, preacher, tell me why, this is my answer. I don't know. I don't know why God allows even the faithful to suffer from challenging circumstances, but this I do know. There is more to this story. And this story is not just meant to be some history lesson for Christians on Christmas. It's meant to answer the deepest questions of your life about God and about yourself. Questions like, what is God like? What is your greatest need? Your greatest dream? Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord, and to burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense for Zechariah. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him. and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord." An angel, a promise, a boy. It's too good to be true, right? It had been maybe 30 or 40 years that this couple was trying to have children, and now possibly 10 or 15 more, where they just no doubt had given up. Enduring, pushing down the pain deep inside. And now, your prayer has been answered. Those words must have seemed too good to be true. What would your emotions be doing with words like that? Not just any words, but words spoken by an angel. Zechariah must have gotten wide-eyed and gasped with his heart racing. And then perhaps he did what most of us would have done in that situation and thought thoughts like, "Which prayer are you talking about?" You see, we've all been on the side of seeming unanswered prayers, waiting and waiting for the Lord to intervene, hoping and at the same time, despairing. It will never happen to me. Others I can see, but me, they had watched the world grow up while they just grew old. And their prayers went unanswered. "Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." A son, no way. It can't be. I will have joy. I will have gladness in my old age. Personal, long awaited, answered prayer from an angel? Impossible. Zechariah must have been in shock. Just wait till he goes and tells Elizabeth. When she hears it, she's either going to faint or publicly scream with joy and delight. It's the dream of all of us to have that one special prayer answered. What we believe is our greatest need. For Zechariah and Elizabeth, a baby, a boy. Can you feel Zechariah's joy? Can you sense Elizabeth's wonder? What must it have been like? But there's more to the story. Much more. Verse 14 says, "And you will have joy and gladness." And here it is. "And many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord." You see, it wasn't just a personal victory. Many would receive gladness because of this answered prayer. You know, all of our greatest dreams really involve others. And somehow, when our prayers are answered or our dreams fulfilled, those closest to us, those who have been praying for us alongside, hoping and longing and enduring, they share our joy. We know this boy that was to be born of Elizabeth and Zechariah was none other than John the Baptist. We know that he was the prophesied one who would prepare the way for the Savior of the world, his cousin, Jesus, just 6 months younger than John. And this Jesus would have an even more spectacular birth story. Jesus' mom wasn't old like Elizabeth. She was extremely young, perhaps 14. But she was a virgin. And to have a child while one was still a virgin was exponentially more difficult than having a child, say, in your 60s or maybe in your 70s. It was impossible. But you see, there is more to the story than Zechariah and Elizabeth hoping to have a child. Why? Because many, many were going to rejoice at his birth. Why? Because his birth would signal the start of the greatest story ever. The soon arrival of the Savior of the world. And John, this miracle baby born to those stricken with years, would be the announcer of the Savior, God in the flesh. You see, John was great because he had the privilege as the one and only one to announce to the world the one who has promised from the very Garden of Eden has come. God has been faithful. God has delivered what he promised. A Savior. And John would grow up one day and he would say what all the world was waiting to hear. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You see, there was much more to the story than just Zechariah and Elizabeth's personal prayer being answered. The rejoicing was not merely to be their own or even their friends or even their loved ones who've been praying with them, but a global rejoicing encompassing every country, every language, every people. The Savior has come. That is what Christmas is all about. The promised Savior has come. And though it might have seemed excruciating long to happen, it did happen. And Jesus changed the story for eternity for everyone who would repent of their sins and trust in Jesus alone. You see, even Jesus, born on this day we celebrate, was not the end of the story. There's more to the story. This beautiful baby's destiny was to grow up and teach the ways of God and to heal untold thousands. But he was also the one who was to take the punishment for the sins of Zechariah and Elizabeth and Joseph and Mary and even the one called great, John the Baptist. To guarantee a personal relationship and reconciliation with God. That's why Jesus came. That's why God sent his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That whomever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn it. But in order that the world might be saved through him. I pray that every one of you here tonight has a personal relationship with the Savior who saved the world. He's my friend. He's changed my life. He'll change yours too. But I want you to know something. Christmas is not the end. And neither is the cross. And neither is the resurrection. There's still more to the story. Jesus promised that he was coming back one last time. And Jesus always delivers on his promises. And on that great day of judgment for both everyone who refused to receive him as Savior and Lord of their life, and for those who are Christians, for one group, terror. But for the other group, joy and gladness and great rejoicing and fully answered prayers in a way that no one would have imagined or understood. So, what do we do? What do we do when we're in the middle of the story? When the end hasn't been revealed just yet? When the story is still being written? We have none other than to look to John the Baptist, who in the middle struggled to continue to believe. And because of his circumstances, because he lived righteous like his mom and dad, he found himself in prison for God. And he sends his disciples to Jesus to ask Jesus, are you really the one, or are we supposed to expect someone else? And Jesus tells John's disciples, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear and the dead are raised up and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. You go tell John what the scriptures predicted 700 years before they happened. They were fulfilled. God delivered, and it's right in front of your eyes. You tell John there's still more to the story than just a great healer and teacher to be born in Bethlehem and one day to conquer the nations of the world. There's more to what God is doing than what you can understand. John, you think your unanswered prayers are met with heavenly silence from God because you're behind prison bars and things are not working out the way you envision God to work? John, yes, I am the one. I am the Savior of the world. But I'm going to do something you would never understand, to show the world what God is like. Not just to be born as an innocent, but to die as an innocent in your place. John, you were the answer to prayer of one couple. I am the answered prayer to the entire world. Remember your parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth. They too thought that I had forgotten them. They were stricken with old age and had long regarded their prayers as somehow perhaps not in God's will. But when they least expected it, even when the world would consider them stricken, John, they were actually chosen. And their private agony was turned to joy and gladness. And many rejoiced. John, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they no longer ask why. And one day, neither will you. Because they were never alone. And in their pain, though they did not understand it at the time, was never for nothing. For God never wastes waiting. And the greater the waiting, and even suffering, the greater the joy. Because God was working behind the scenes doing something that would astound the world, bringing life to the announcer, to the one who was to introduce to the world the Savior himself. John, it was your privilege and destiny to say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world and fulfill the hopes and dreams of not just your nation, but of every generation, of every nation of the world. Jesus' message to John is the same message to us this Christmas. God delivered, and he will deliver again. And for those still in the middle of the story, the message is the same. Struggle no more. Trust. Repent. Believe. And you will one day personally understand and personally see there is much, much more to the story. The worship team would come forward. Let's stand. Let's celebrate this one who has come, who has delivered us from our sins, whom we celebrate even now.